Father, we come before you in your presence. You said where two or three of us are gathered together, you would be also. Let us experience you today. Inspire the preaching. Inspire the hearing. Inspire all of our hearts to see you high and lifted up. And Holy Spirit, just write it on the tablets of our hearts. And empower us to live it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. You know, in Psalm 2, where we've been, and we're going to go back there today. It's not our text. You don't have to turn there. But that last verse of Psalm 2, as we were learning that God has enthroned His Son Jesus on the throne and anointed Him to be King of all the earth. That last verse says this. And I want to repeat it again. And I want to preach on it a little bit more today. Last verse, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. And the question that I want to answer today is simply, how are we blessed when we take refuge in Him? I mean, what's all that about? Why in Him are we blessed? I want to answer that today. And I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart. And we are going to use Psalm 24, which is another psalm about the King. Psalm 2 is about His enthronement. And Psalm 24 is about His reign and also His enthronement. You'll hear the echo of God's kingship throughout the Psalms. So I'm going to use Psalm 24 as a commentary on Psalm 2, verse 12. Now turn to Psalm 24 because that's where we're going to be for the rest of the sermon. And let us read verses 5 and 6 as we answer the question, how are we blessed by taking refuge in the King? Verse 5 says, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. How are we blessed by taking refuge in the King? The answer is in those two verses. Such is the generation who seek Him, who seek your face, O God. Here's the point. Here's the point. The blessing is the presence of the King. True and simple. The blessing is presence of the King. My mic is slipping off of me. It's the presence of the King. That's why you take refuge in Him. Why? Because He's the blessing. You want to be blessed? Dwell, live in the presence of the King. We need to learn that it is not what He gives us, but it's He Himself. He is the great blessing. We sing it in the form of a doxology, don't we? Usually at the end of a service, we'll sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Right? Praise God, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He is God. The triune God is the blessing. You say, I wanted what He has. We need to seek His face before we seek His hand. Remember that. We need to seek His face, Him, His favor, His blessing, Him. He is it. The theologians call heaven the beatific vision. Like from Beatitudes, you know what the Beatitudes are? Sermon on the Mount, it means blessing. And theologians say that The blessing of heaven is not the streets of gold, but the vision of Him, seeing Him. Moses, before he died, he said, I want to see God. God, when he appeared in the burning bush, let me see you. He recognized that that was the blessing. He said, no, you couldn't take it now. I kind of pass by and you'll see a bit of me, but now you can't see my face. We're going to see God face to face. We need to learn now and practice now His blessing of His presence. To have a vision of God, to see Him. Let's go to Psalm 24, verse 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. The earth is the Lord's. Holy is the Lord, we sing. For the earth is filled with His glory. It's the Lord's. Don't seek first what's the Lord's. It belongs to Him. He goes on to say, and the world and all who live in it. You belong to God. I belong to God. And we were created not to get stuff from Him, although He owns everything, but to worship Him and to glorify Him. It is interesting as well, when you consider these things, you see in verse 2 that the earth, for He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. When you see heaven described in the book of Revelation, I find it informative to me anyway. When John saw it, it says it was like on a sea of what? Glass. Glass. I think that heaven is sort of like an archetype of the earth. And the earth is sort of like a microcosm in a sense that reflects back heaven. God created the world on waters. And the Spirit of God moved up on the deep. Heaven is the pattern. And God's throne is like on waters that are shimmering. It's like a sea of glass. You ever see water that's shimmering? Looks like glass. But the centerpiece of heaven is the throne of God. You say, well, where is He going with this? Same thing. God is the blessing. Heaven is the presence of God to the max. It is the blessing of God to the maximum. The sea of glass. In verse 3, it says, who may ascend the hill? And we're going to talk about that as well. Because it has to do with salvation. But before I get into that, let me go back to the background. A little bit more background. We see verses 1 and 2, heaven. Okay? We see, though, that Psalm 24 is a kingly psalm, like Psalm 2, I mentioned that, an ascension psalm. And scholars have written that the occasion was when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a type of heaven, for it's where the king dwelt. I want to try to tie all this together for you. Okay? When the Lord comes back, He will come back with the new what? Heaven and earth, right? And in particular, the new what? New Jerusalem. Right? This all hopefully will make a difference in our lives. Okay? Scholars wonder, too, that it was not only the occasion of David entering the city, but also the return of the blessing. What was the blessing? You know it, right? What's the blessing? God. Where did God dwell with Israel? Tabernacle temple, right? Jerusalem. But He dwelt, yes, there, but somewhere specifically. It was on the mercy seat. It was on this golden box that God gave instructions to Moses to build. It was laden with gold, and it had on it, right, these two cherubim that faced one another with their wings outstretched, covering and pointing to God's dwelling place, God's seat, the throne of God, the King, the King. This is about the King. The King being in his presence, you were blessed or cursed. And so they wrote this psalm for the bringing back of the Ark of the Covenant. Where was it? The Philistines had captured it. You can read about this in 1 Samuel, I think chapter 5. And it was in this particular city where they brought it because they realized it was the prize of Israel. And they brought it into the temple of Dagon. All right? Hey, if it's good enough for the Israelites to be in their temple, it's good enough for him to be in ours, be it pagan or not. So they set it near their god called Dagon. They left, came back the next morning, and Dagon had, boom, fallen on his face, worshiping the king. They set that rascal back up. They heard this is powerful. Israel took it to battle with them, that it was a blessing. Remember I told you that the Lord will be a blessing to some and a curse to others? Dagon fell. They went home, propped him up, made sure he couldn't fall, came back. Boom, that rascal was on his face again before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And not only that, the people started having hemorrhoid problems and they didn't have preparation aid. Oh man, talking about sore. You know the story about Thor, why they call him Thor? Because he rode on his horse, the Greek figure Thor, you know, and therefore that's why he was Thor. Anyway, yeah, I didn't get that. So they started getting these hemorrhoids, these tumors in their rear ends. They couldn't sit down. And they said, we got to get this thing out of here. And it even fell near a door threshold. And they said, don't step on that. They didn't step over there to get out of the temple. All right? Then they took it down to the Philistines. And they start crying out, don't bring that thing down here. Don't, oh no. And they got hemorrhoids. And the people start dying. You see, the presence of the Lord will either be a blessing or a curse depending on whether or not you have faith in him and whether or not you have accepted him as your Savior. So now, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. So they said, send this back to Israel. Send this back to Judea. We don't want it. You can have it. So they sent it back. And as David was bringing it back, he did not follow God's instructions. And the ark, because they weren't carrying it with long poles and rods. And it began to fall, and Uzzah reached up to keep it from falling, and the Lord slew him. Obedience to the Lord is important. And so David said, I'm not bringing this any further. And so he left it in Obed-Ed's house, the Edomite. And guess what happened? As opposed to the Philistines, his house was blessed. And all of his children were blessed. His whole household was blessed. It's an interesting thing. Not just history. One was a house of paganism. One was a house of faith. One was obedient and one was disobedient. I've set before you life and death. Choose life that you and your seed may live. And his house was flourishing. And David says, you know, it's just not right. I'm glad that, Father, you, God, I'm glad you're blessing them, but this belongs in your house. And so David went back to get it, and they wrote this psalm in honor and to go along with it coming back. The point is, the king was coming. The king was coming home. And they wanted to praise the Lord. And so they wrote this psalm, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. And so as they brought the Ark of the Covenant on the poles like it's supposed to be. And they, Jerusalem is on a hill. The temple is on a hill. The tabernacle was on a hill, and they had to ascend to the house of the Lord. And as they were bringing it up, the priests were singing what we're reading here. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that glorious? Oh, there's so much here. So they come up. He owns everything, they're saying. He is the creator, verse 1, and the possessor of everything. We seek him, not his things. That's what we're to do. Verse 2, for he founded upon the seas. Again, the temple picture, the sea of glass. The temple in Eastern culture, whether even was a pagan, they looked at it as a microcosm of the created world. Therefore, if you look at the tabernacle and temple, even on the drapes, they had palm trees and pomegranates and fruit and nuts. Picturing what? The Garden of Eden, where God dwelt with man, and God was the blessing. And they sinned, right? Adam and Eve. And the sin separated them from the blessing. They hid from God. Adam, where are you? And he hid. He says, we were afraid, and there was a shame with that sin. Man became ashamed. They sought to hide from God. Notice the contrast here. I'm here telling you that the presence of the king is a blessing. Now they're hiding from the presence of the king. For the presence of a king will either be a blessing or a curse to you. They had sinned and they felt ashamed and cursed. And they didn't want to come into the presence of the king. Oh, but the king of our heart, as we say, is good. He's so good. And what he did, because he realized, because his plan was to bring redemption. So the king sacrificed an animal, right? And clothed Adam and Eve, not in fig leaves, but in the skin of the animal. And I would speculate if I had to, that that was a lamb. And he made a promise that the seed of the woman, Eve, will crush, Genesis 3:15, the first gospel preached, the head of the serpent. In other words, the king will be victorious. And the king will reign in glory. So we see in verse 3, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Again, they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the hill, that holy hill. They're coming up with it. So who comes? How do we ascend? Who may stand in his holy place? And that's where we need to stand. That's where we need to live. Because the blessing is what? What is the blessing? Come on, let me hear you. Let me hear it. What is the blessing? The presence of the king. Who will stand in the holy place? Who could possibly come and appear before the holy God? Because we sang it, holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Who can withstand the glory of the Lord? And he tells us, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. Blessed are what? The pure in heart. For they shall do what? What? See God. See, that was the goal. That's the cry of the heart. To see God. The scripture says, and when we see him, what? In 1 John, we will be like him. We go from glory to glory to glory. We're going to be glorified. When he appears in the heavens in glory, he will destroy the wicked with his glory. Just like the Philistines were. Oh, they were destroyed by the glory of God. His glory is going to glorify us. John said, and when we see him, we will be like him. Glory to glory. The blessing is the presence of the Lord. Oh, how do we enter his presence of the king? Blessed are those who have the pure heart. Like Adam and Eve, we've all sinned, and sin separates us from the presence of the Lord. But he's made a way. He's made a way out of no way. He sent a lamb. He sent his son. We go on to read that God's solution, as I've said before, is his son, who does not lift up his soul to an idol. I think it's just wonderful that God inspired to put that there after his Ark of the Covenant had been before idols. The person who does not lift up his soul to an idol. Or swear to what is false. He tells the truth. He's a person of integrity. Now, who in the world is this? Who could be like this? In other words, none of us could come before the Lord. For he's holy, totally other than us, totally separated from sin. But he gives us the ticket into the door. You know, in school, teachers will, some of you who are students, right? Your teacher will say, okay, as you leave class today, this is your ticket out of the door. How many of you young people have been told that? Oh, wow, isn't that amazing? That you've got to accomplish this, you've got to accomplish that, and that's your ticket out of the door. God gives us a ticket into the door of his presence. A ticket into the door. The blessing is this. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication, or like justification, being made right from God, his Savior. That's your ticket. That's your free gift. See, in school, you got to do work to earn that ticket. God says, I've got a gift for you. I've got a gift certificate. It costs me everything, but it is free to you. It's called grace. And I gave my son a Savior. Notice it says here, he received blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Here, the psalmist identifies God as Savior, not only as King, but Savior. For we need a Savior to be able to be vindicated, have our sins forgiven, made right with God, given his righteousness, so we could come into his holy presence. Are you hearing the gospel today? Are you hearing the good news? That we can enter his presence with praise and thanksgiving. Why? Because we've been made holy. And we can appear before the blessing. And he is the blessing. Such, six. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face, O God of Jacob. His face is his favor and his blessing. Receive that gift. I say that to you online. I say that to you here today. Receive the gift. If I gave you, I say, come up, I got a $1,000 gift certificate to Gameland, where you can get any computer game you want. Wouldn't you come forward for it? Or a $1,000 gift to Macy's, or a $100,000 gift for whatever. Wouldn't you come and receive it? Why do we hesitate to receive the gift of the Lord? And the gift of the Lord is him. Receive him, and you're blessed. Not cursed. But if you don't receive the gift, you're cursed. Man, this ain't even hard. Why would anyone not want to receive the blessing? Some, you don't have to have the ticket out the door that you got to work for. You got a ticket in the door that's free. I just don't want it. I suggest to you to receive the blessing. Now, I need to hurry on. I need to go through verse 7 very quickly. Seek him. You say, well, I want to, but I don't want to. I hear the call of the gospel. Philippians says, it's God. It's the King who works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, even to receive the gift. He must give us the faith, and he says, I'll give it to you. If you're hearing this gospel, this word, and you believe it, God has given you the faith to reach forth the hand. Yes, I want it. I want the King. I want to be blessed. I want to kiss the Son. I want to embrace him. I want to trust him.
See, what God commands, He's already empowered. Through faith, He gives you the ability to do what He's asked you to do. Then come to Him, all you who are weary. He says, come to me. The king says, come into my courts. You're not going to get an invitation from Trump to come to the White House. Or Obama when he was there, whatever king. I mean, you have to be somebody. You know, if you won the championship, you won the, oh no, let's not think about that, the Super Bowl. If you listen online, I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and they lost to me. They just gave the game away. We won't go there. Now, y'all have to be patient. I'm still in recovery from that loss. I need the therapy of the Lord to say, this is not what is important. The king is important. All right. Let me go forward. Seek him. Seek his heart. Seek his face. All the money, all the talent, all the health, all the power in the world are his. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. But the greatest blessing and treasure he can give us is life in his presence. Tim Keller said that. He went on to say, to know his presence is to ascend the hill of the Lord. To know his presence. You say, okay, talk about the presence. How do we experience it? You got to ascend the hill of the Lord. That's what it says here. It says in verse 4, so you got to receive the gift. It says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol. Identify. I'm trying to tell you how to experience the presence of the Lord. Identify your idols and reject them. You don't need that feller who kept falling on his face before the Lord. You don't need him. You need God. You don't need the car. You don't need a house. God will provide all those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he'll give you all these other things. And he is the kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is amongst you. When he was standing there, he was the kingdom of God. He is heaven. We all have idols. Little ones, big ones, they're all the same to God. They're idolatry. Obey him. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. You can't have that other God and the true God. Because everything else will curse you or make your life miserable. What is it that you don't think you can live without? Ascend the hill. Do you realize it says here in verse 6, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. I like why he put it, you know, I like how the Lord inspired the God of Jacob. What did Jacob do? He wrestled with the Lord. He wrestled with the Lord. Sometimes I pray, and God, I want to experience your presence. I go and pray, and I'm wrestling with all kinds of things, all kinds of thoughts going in my mind. You ever be that way? And sometimes you got to ascend. I mean, you have to strive in prayer. It's on a hill. Isn't it interesting that in other pagan cultures and religions, where people will literally crawl on their knees upstairs, ascending to their God. Our God has come down to us. But he says, wrestle with me. Strive with me. Jacob wrestled with God. The God of Jacob, it says there. Jacob wrestled with the Lord all night. And he said, I ain't. And then God, boom, put a move on him in wrestling, dislocated his hip. Jacob said, I still got one good arm. I may not be able to stand and throw you, Lord, but I'm going to hang on here. And sometimes we need to just hang on with the Lord in prayer and in his presence. You feel, I just don't feel like I'm experiencing his presence. Hang in there. When you've done all, stand in the Lord. You may have to stand on one leg because he's dislocated the other one. Stand in prayer. Pray always. And you may not feel nothing, but I'm telling you that he who has hold of you is everything. The presence of the Lord. And he'll give you the strength to seek his faith. I must hurry. I'm sorry that I didn't make this into two sermons, but bear with me. Verse 7, we read this. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Again, this is speaking of Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is personified, and its gates are personified as a person. Notice, it says, lift up your heads. I'm going to wait till next week to finish it. My wife said, thank you. I have so much I want to share with you. But if you get nothing else out of what I've said today, realize that the blessing is the King. Put your faith in Him. Next week we'll get into How? Not a how-to sermon, because it's by the Spirit. But what it's like to experience the ways that God has put before us. So remember and never forget, seek His face, not His hand. For He is the King of glory, and He is the blessing. Amen. Father, we thank You for this word today. We thank You for Your goodness and Your kindness. We thank You for sending the King of our hearts. Holy Spirit, use this message as an invitation to those here and an invitation to those who are listening online to dwell in the presence of the King, to be blessed with His salvation. And let us, every one of us, daily walk in and live in His presence. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.